it's looking a little choppy out there. I'm afraid there's a boat that's going to be in for some rough times. So, and I think Susan's on that boat. She's our guest for tonight. Uh-oh. Hold on. Oh, no.
Susan, you have washed up on an island.
It's beautiful.
Well, look around and describe your island a little bit. You get to choose what your island is like. You get to choose 10 songs, but you also get to choose what your island is like. So let's start there.
Oh my gosh, you totally didn't tell me I got to pick what my island is like.
Yeah, but it's a spontaneous
but
island.
But you probably... excuse me, I'm sorry. You probably imagined the kind of island you were going to be on, right?
I definitely imagined part of it, and that was the sunny... sandy part.
So you're on a sunny and sandy beach.
Yes, but back a ways, there's a much more jungly feel to it. Lots of lush green trees, wild boars, all kinds of things.
And so monkeys? Maybe a monkey or two?
Definitely.
All right. Okay. All right.
So monkey-like show tonight. Well, great. Susan, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Let's a little bit about you. When did you come to Sitka?
That was my very first birthday, August 28th, 1981. I was born here. My mom and dad had just recently moved here. My mom finished nursing school and my dad was working. Actually, I think on the sewer systems in Skagway, they met at Moe's Bar. And the
there
rest is history.
All right.
And who are your mom and dad? Some folks might know.
My dad's Harry Chartier. He lived here for a long time. He was the building inspector. And my mom is Mary Soltis, and she also lived here for a long time, service to the community. She was a nurse at Search and Sitka Community. Mm-hmm. My roots are here, and I just came back here more recently last summer, and I finished grad school in Portland, where I had been for about 5 or 6 years. Love Portland.
All right, and you came back, and so you came back after grad school, and you have a certain new set of skills. What are those skills?
I do. I practice traditional Chinese medicine. And so I'm an acupuncturist and an herbalist. I do body work, and I work at a Sitka Physical Therapy, which is in the Center for Community Building, and it's awesome.
All right. I think I met you when you were 8 years old.
Uh-oh.
And I think that the dinner that I met you at, before we ate, that you played the violin for a little while.
Oh, God.
So we'll be talking a little more about music,
yes,
and about you, your adventures away from Sitka,
mm-hmm,
and what you do in Sitka, and some other memories. But let's step into the music a little bit. You've selected 10 songs. Was this process easy? Did you just like knock it off in a half hour, or describe how it went?
Okay. Well, I came up with the first 4 or 5 songs pretty quickly because they are very nostalgic and they remind me of specific people and they hold a lot of reverence sort of in my heart. The other 5 were real wishy-washy, and I have to say, even until I was emailing you the list this morning, I was scratching them out and coming up with the last 2. And even until I just met Rachel here, so I was... For the folks that don't know, I was trying to break the rules of the show and do the Abbey Road selection of, I think it's four songs. It's about 15 or 16 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, really, if you're cast away on a desert island, you're going to want your extra three songs eventually. But no.
Trying to get the most bang for your buck.
And, I understand.
Susan, we should mention that most people do try to mm-hmm. cheat yep. in one way or another. So absolutely welcome, but we did have to draw the line.
It was cheating.
They drew the line.
We're not going to mention what song you ended up choosing from that yet. We got to keep that a secret.
Yeah. So anyways, last minute, I've been still coming up with my 10 songs as of 2 minutes ago. So it was not an easy process, but it was really interesting. I did the first half of it with a couple of my friends and we sat down and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, definitely this one, definitely this one, definitely this one. And then it was hard.
Wow.
All right. Well, let's dive in. Is this first song one of the easy ones that you selected?
Yeah, this one is pretty easy. This one reminds me of my dad. And so this was one of my favorite country music songs that he would play on his show. And I would always request this song.
Could you pause briefly and just tell us about his show?
Oh, sure. Dad did Coming Up Country with Harry, and it was kind of a big deal. And it still goes on, right?
Uh-huh.
You still have Coming Up Country?
Coming Up Country was just before us with Miss Deborah. You said kind of a big deal. What do you mean by that?
Well, it was a big deal for us growing up with my dad because he totally geeks out on segues and, you know, the whole flow of everything. And we lived in a real small house, so there was, you know, one stereo system for everyone. And he would record his shows and meticulously go through them and scrutinize his segues. And
a segue is the transition between two songs. So
yes,
he was very interested in how the show flowed.
Real into it. He had this little charting system on the back of all the CDs where he would carve in a little like star pattern, which told him what the song tempo was like, what sort of bluesy or boohoo, or he had all these like categories depending on how many hash marks there were. And then there was this little dot pattern that went around the sides so you could tell how fast the song was and how long it took to lead into the good part. So like if there was, you had to fade into it or whatever, he could just look at the back of the CD and know. Anyways, he spent a lot of time obsessing and rehearsing and going over all this country music songs. And so, really, I have to admit, I did not like country music for a long time.
Susan, you know those CDs upstairs in the country library, they're all marked.
I didn't know that's where that came from.
They look like marks from outer space.
Yeah, they're alien.
They're very detailed and tiny.
I always wondered, I just figured that somebody had made them and they meant something to somebody, but I didn't know that was Harry.
Hours and hours of my dad sitting down and listening. And, you know, it's cool. I talked to him a couple months ago because my friend was going to do some of the Coming Up Country shows, and I wanted him to be able to have all of that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so I jotted down his sort of transcription of how he coded all that stuff. So it's my goal to, like, type it out and put it up there just in case anybody wants to come and use his system.
Just in time for Christmas.
Just in time for Christmas. Which leads me to the next part of what I was going to say. I was between this and one other Garth Brooks song, which is The Gift. And that song makes me cry, so I did not choose that song. But this is Skeeter Davis, and it's The End of the World.
Don't they know it's the end? It ended when I lost your love. I wake up in the morning and I wonder why everything's the same as it was. Does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry?
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Gal
magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah.
No, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah.
We will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah.
We will not let you go.
Let me go.
We will not let you go.
Let me go.
We will not let you go.
Let me go. Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me. For me.
And that was Queen with Bohemian Rhapsody. And we're here with Susan Chartier on the deserted island. She is on her island with her 10 songs that she has with her, and only 10 songs. And we're learning a little bit about her. Susan, why Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that one was for my brother, Tim. And we grew up on very little TV. Thank God, you know, looking back, but at the time it was torture. And we also didn't get things like fast food or soda, pop, anything like that.
More torture.
It was definitely a reward, you know. Mm-hmm. So one time we went to McDonald's. My parents are going to hate me when I tell this. But we got to get the, you know, kids meal or whatever.
The Happy Meal. Uh-huh.
The Happy Meal, which came with Wayne's World. So we had Wayne's World as one of like our top, you know, we had like maybe five movies or something that we just watched over and over and over again. This was definitely probably the top favorite for many, many years. And me and my brother to this day will sit down and start spewing off Wayne's World lyrics, and people will look at us like, are they okay? And we're like, oh, yeah, sorry. But yeah, definitely that song reminds me of my brother and just all of that Wayne's World goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I've never heard of a Happy Meal having like a video.
It was a special for a while. They had, and we got like three or four of them. We got Wayne's World, Ghost.
Remember with, with Demi Moore.
Demi Moore,
Patrick
that really
Swayze,
hot.
Yeah.
Yep, super hot.
Yeah.
And there was another one. Gosh, what was it? I don't remember, but I think we got like three of the four videos because at the time we were just like, please, can we go back to McDonald's?
Well, we're talking about family, and there may be some people listening that are thinking, Susan Chartier, I thought I knew Harry Chartier. Tell us a little about that.
Where are you going with this, Ken?
I think we're already there, Susan.
Well, It's funny because, you know, the way you spell her last name, C-H-A-R-T-I-E-R, so it looks like Chartier. But in French, you often don't pronounce the last consonant, so it's Chartier. Chartier. And a lot of times, you know, when I was growing up, I'd be like, why don't we say Chartier? That's how you're supposed to say it. And Dad would always just say, we've Americanized it. You know, that was all I ever got from it. So when I moved away from my family, people asked me what my name was. It's Chartier. And then when I came back to Sitka, everybody's like, oh, Susan Chartier. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's always going to be that, isn't it?
I know. I'm afraid I'm a little guilty of that.
No, it's totally cool. And, you know, maybe it was null and void to even try. But, you know, like when I would call the helpline for somebody on the phone, they would pronounce my name correctly, and it just gave me tingles. I was like, oh, you were saying my name right.
That's great.
What does the rest of your family think of that?
They're still Chartier, obviously, but, you know, I don't know. The apple has to roll down the hill a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And well, I wouldn't call that a worm in there. It's just
it's gravity.
Yeah.
Next song is Alison Krauss on your list. Tell us why this song.
This song, My Love Will Follow You Where You Go, it just gives me good feelings all over. And it reminds me, if my mom could write me a song, this is what my mom would write me.
Than a thousand hearts can count for you. More smiles than a merry-go-round. The sweetest ending to a bedtime story told. My love follows you where you go. More laughter than a kindergarten out to play. One Sunday morning song that says it all. More summer than the California beach can hold. My love follows you where you go. Future like a promise. You're a city of gold. Stubborn in your bones and Jesus in your soul. Seeing you stand there, staring at the unknown. I won't pretend that it's not killing me. Watching you. Jesus in your soul.
won't bite if you sit real still. I got the Antichrist in the kitchen yelling at me again. Yeah, I can hear. Been saved again by the garbage truck. I got something to say, you know, but nothing comes. Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up. Yeah, I can hear that. But what if I'm a mermaid in these jeans of his with her name still on it? Hey, but I don't care, cause sometimes I said sometimes I hear my voice and it's been he. Really deep thoughts. What's so amazing about really deep thoughts? Boy, you best pray that I bleed real soon. How's that thought for you? My screen got lost in a paper cut. Think there's a heaven where some screams have gone. I got 25 bucks and a cracker. Do you think it's enough to get us there? Cause what if I'm jeans of his with her name still on it, hey, but I don't care, cause sometimes I said sometimes I hear my voice and it's been he. Silent all these years go by, will I still be waiting for somebody else to understand? Years go by,
tune there that is called Silent All These Years. So, Susan, tell us how that song made it to your list.
Well, I'd have to say Tori Amos has been very influential in my sort of early womanhood. And maybe we could just leave it at that.
Sure.
All right.
The song before that was Alison Krauss, and she's a fiddle player.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned it. When I met you the first time, you were a very young fiddle player. Did you continue playing music? Do you still play music?
You know, I still play music a little bit, not as much as I should. It's actually one of my goals of this winter is to take out my fiddle and keep it tuned up and going. I was classically trained. I got a violin for my 8th birthday, so I'm sure when you heard me, I was pretty squeaky.
Wow. Yeah.
No comment.
Thanks, Ken.
It was wonderful. Chopin, uh-huh. I think, perfectly yeah. performed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I think I took lessons until I was a junior in high school. And then I did a lot of weddings and funerals and things like that. And, in my later years, I've mostly been just kind of improvising and playing, because I was Suzuki trained, which you learn by ear first, and then you learn how to read music later. And so that's kind of a nice skill for those of us who aren't classically trained and mm-hmm. trying to play together. It bodes well for just, throwing chords out there and picking up on them. And
cool. What kind of music have you played? I mean, like with friends and stuff? Or
yeah, I dabbled a little bit in folk music, which I love. Mm-hmm. So different, technically speaking. And it was a real challenge for me. Nowadays, when I pick it up, I do some classical just to sort of like brush up and remember. And then I do a little fiddling. And then usually when I'm hanging out with people, I just try to play along with whatever they're playing. So, mm-hmm. Typically a lot of cover songs and, things that are a little bit more mainstream. And that's mm-hmm. nice, too, because I already know how it goes, kind of. So I can do harmonies. But
when you say fiddling, do you mean, what does that mean? Do you just mean fiddling around on a fiddle? Or is that just fiddling something else? I'm just asking.
Well, I was going to ask the same thing.
Have you guys not heard the joke? It's, what's the difference between a violin and a fiddle? Like $3,000.
I like it.
Yeah. So there's not a whole, other than the technical skills of the bowing and the fingering, mm-hmm. not a whole lot of difference. It's mostly a style thing.
Cool.
So fiddling around means that you're just not playing classical. You're playing...
Well, fiddle music is like a type of music.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
it's like folk tunes and
folk tune thing.
Mm. So fiddling around on the fiddle.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's just funny.
Technical fiddling.
And then just to talk a little bit further about the musical style. So you began playing violin and you're exposed to some classical music. When did you begin to develop an appreciation of the music that was popular? Dad had the stereo, you heard country, so you kind of veered this way or that based on that. But what was your first, where you in, what grade, what age did you begin listening to music and thinking, that's the music I like? You said Tori Amos was there in a part of your life. What was the first music love?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I think it has many layers, because I think for a long time when I was young, I did listen to music. I listened to the structure of music. I listened to the words of music. I remember hanging out in the living room and listening to the lyrics of a Beatles song. And I remember there was a line in that, what is that line? You can hold me, but I can feel your disease or something like mm-hmm. that. And I was like, Dad, what does that mean?
Come together.
Come together. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, what do you think it means? And I remember by him not answering my question outright, it pressed me to like explore what I was curious about.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that happened for many years before I actually started liking a lot of music. I remember it was intriguing. I had a lot of questions about it. I didn't necessarily like it because
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe 7th, 8th grade, I started getting into the Beatles albums, Beatles for Sale and Revolver especially.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of songs. Okay, so I have to go here, guys. I'm sorry, I'm going here again.
Okay.
But I heard that Abbey Road set with the four songs that all bleed together one night on Preston's radio show when I was very young.
It was Heart of Saturday Night.
Heart of Saturday Night. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting around the kitchen table with my dad, and that started playing, and I looked at my dad and was like, are you kidding me? Like, what is on the radio right now? And then there was another, like, good thing, and then I was just... I remember sitting there and I just was so full of excitement and wonder, and I could not believe that I had not heard this before. Like, Dad, why are you holding this from me?
Right.
And he said, oh, this is Abbey Road, sweetheart. Have you not heard of this album? And Like, duh. So anyways, he went out, I think it was that following Easter, and that was my Easter present from the Easter Bunny or whatever. And it really changed the way, for whatever reason, that I was hearing music. Mm-hmm. It was coming together for me with the lyrics, the timing, the transition between songs, and just the power that songs can have. And so, anyways, I chose a different Beatles song in lieu of those four songs, and this is called Blackbird. And although it's sad, I feel like this would be the perfect funeral song for me. So if I don't make it on my desert island, this would be the song.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night. Black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night.
Your body, would you still wear clothes? If I was a booger, would you blow your nose? Where would you keep it? Would you eat it? I'm just trying to give myself a reason for being around. If I was a front porch swing, would you let me hang? If I was a dance floor, would you shake your thing? If I was a rubber check, would you let me bounce up and down inside your bank account? Would you trust me not to break you? I'm just trying really hard to make you notice me being around. If I was a haircut, would you wear a hat? If I was a maid, could I clean your flat? If I was the carpet, would you wipe your feet in time to save me from mud off the street? If you liked me, if you loved me, well, let's get down your knees and scrub me. I'm a little grubby from just being around.
Song from the Lemonheads there, and we're talking to Susan Chartier, and the assignment was 10 songs that you would select to have on an island if stranded, perhaps forever, and we're almost half of the way through, and you have selected that tune from the Lemonheads. Tell us why.
Well, the first time I ever heard that song was after I got a bad haircut, and I was really embarrassed, and my friend came over and started playing me that song. Instead of singing it as a haircut, if I were a haircut, would you wear a hat? He said, if I were a bad haircut, would you wear a hat? And I totally thought that song was about a bad haircut for years, until I got the Lemonhead CD, and I was like, oh, Ryan just made that part up for me. It was really cute, though, and I always think about the whole booger part, like, really, what would you do if someone was a booger? Would you eat it? Would you blow it? Like, what do you do?
So this is a philosophical moment on the island for you.
It kind of is. I would spend a lot of time pondering the lyrics of this song. It would help me put together a lot of loose ends.
So have you had many bad haircuts?
Just about every haircut I get, I do not like. I've sort of rebelled, and I have not gotten a haircut in over a year. I've taken to watching YouTube videos, and I just watch them cut their hair, and then I go in the bathroom and cut my hair.
Wow, brave.
It saves me like $75.
Well, I know, but you just said you hate them always, though.
But when I do it, it's okay.
Oh, okay, so you give yourself a good haircut. Okay.
Well, I don't know about good. But the thing
your
about
hair looks nice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
The thing is that when I do it, I can do it in like 3 days. I kind of have a haircutting week where I start and then I realize I missed little chunks or pieces or whatever. And so it takes me about a week to cut my hair. But after that week, it's good.
It's a process. Yeah. Nice. Nice. So this is your philosophical haircutting music when you're on the island.
Apparently, you know, I didn't think about it, but yeah, definitely.
Great.
Do you ever write music? Write songs?
You know what? I listened to Cindy's show last week, and it was so inspiring. She went to a songwriting workshop, and she just was so full of good chi and talking about her songs and her experiences. I was actually thinking about calling Cindy and asking her if she would teach me how to write a song, because that's something I've never done. I love to write poetry. I love to journal. Mm-hmm. I love words. But I've never put them to music or had that experience. So maybe that's another good winter
project
goal.
Or yeah. And you can do that while you're on your island.
There you go.
Did you like school?
Oh yeah. I would be a eternal student if it wasn't so expensive.
What about school in Sitka? Your
where are you going with
junior
this
high, your high school? Just kind of wondering what your time was like in Sitka schools, friends maybe, for instance.
No, I had a good time growing up here. I think it's a challenging place to grow up, but I love learning, and I, you know, I'm kind of a big nerd, if you haven't noticed.
I haven't noticed.
I haven't either.
Okay. I don't really know how to answer that question. I feel like when I was here, I totally was not liking it. You know, I felt trapped, like I just have to finish school and then I can get out of here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think the more you go away and come back, the better it gets and the more you realize what Sitka has to offer folks and all of the knowledge that finds the way to your brain here is just different. You know, it's a whole different set of skills, just living and like living off the land and knowing how to interact. And, it's a tight community. So mm-hmm. it's a different learning experience, but I have to say, looking back, it was a good one. Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Earbones here on Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, and we're with Susan Chartier, and we've stranded her on a deserted island, and she has only 10 songs with her, and we're listening to those and learning a little more about Susan, and I'm excited because this is the part of the show where we learn about your dessert, because it is a deserted island. So we're going to talk about that in a second, but I just wanted to mention that this show will be archived on the website, kcaw.org, and you can see Susan's 10 songs and her dessert recipe, and I suppose we'll have a picture or two to put up, right?
Yes, providing that your haircut is working out.
I expect to see a bowl on your head.
Wait a minute. These are like pictures of the island, right?
well, there'll be pictures of you.
Oh.
Yes.
And Luna.
Right. Well, and I was just going to say that will be on there forever. So, you know, you can look back at this, you know, in a year from now or 5 years from now.
Or when you're on your
20 years from now.
Front porch in your rocking chair.
Yeah.
And, Rachel, Susan did mention maybe that we would have dessert with the last song.
Oh, that's right.
So if
that's
you want to save it for that, that's okay.
I always want to have my dessert early.
Well, maybe we should. You know, I mean, life's short.
Oh, that's okay. We can wait.
Okay.
It'll just be that much better when we get there. So.
It is super top secret. I have not told them what it is yet.
Okay. Well, let's keep the secret a bit longer. The next song is Rocket Man. What is this song?
Well, Becca and I have grown up together and we basically were joined at the hip. We did a lot of our music exploration together. And, this song, I honestly don't know why it became our first theme song, but this definitely is it. This is a rock.
Who's Becca?
Rebecca LaGuire. She is the program director here at Raven Radio.
And when did you meet her?
You know, our parents were friends before we were born, and we are...
Well, that makes me have to ask, do you remember the first time?
Oh, no.
Because you would have been just like sitting in next to each other on a blanket.
Well,
really.
What's your first memory of Rebecca? Have you thought about that?
Oh, yeah. Definitely remember camping. That was some of the first memories, and... our other friends, the Sealands, used to be out at Medici doing the hatchery stuff. Mm-hmm. So we would go out there and camp, and it was fun. Fun place to grow up. I can't believe our parents just let us run around with all those bears and loose pieces of dock that we were running on. I'm like, oh my God. But it was really fun. And I definitely remember getting into the Devil's Club out there and them laying us out on the picnic table, picking Devil's Club out of us. And, you know, those are some of the earlier not to do while camping experience. But we never got eaten by a bear or anything. We never got stranded on an island.
So. Right.
And then you hung out through school?
Yeah.
And how did this song end up being a tune that you both know? Is this song from that era, or is this a song that you just ended up loving together because you played it and it was a good time of your life?
You know, I was trying to think about it earlier today and I don't know. I mean, usually we would go through songs and be like, listen to this song, it's so amazing, and we would both really like it, and it became a you know, a theme song for a while or whatever. This one, I don't know if it was a happenstance. It kind of, I think what happened was it had come up some kind, like randomly associated with us. And then we used to always go eat curly fries at Lane 7. That was our fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. Lots of ketchup. Mm-hmm. And one time we were sitting there eating curly fries and Rocket Man came on the radio. We both looked at each other and were like, oh my God, curly fries and Elton John.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight.
happiness hit her like a train on a track. Coming towards her.
Florence and the Machine with Dog Days. Tell us about that, Susan.
Well, I've been listening to that album Lungs for almost a year now, and it's my go-to running album. It's just got really good sort of peppy energy to it, and I love her lyrics, and she's so dramatic. I love running to her. She just makes me want to fly.
Great.
Is there any Luna at all in that, in the title? And you've
and
got
who
a,
is Luna?
Yeah, and yeah, tell us about Luna.
Luna is the love of my life. I call her a Jack Rat. She's Jack Russell Rat Terrier. And she's going to be 9 in October. I can't believe it. I keep telling her, you're getting old, don't get old. But, you know, she's great. She's my little companion. She goes everywhere with me. And I don't know. That song doesn't remind me of dogs at all. Sorry. I don't know why they called it that.
Well, just a good reason then to talk about Luna right now. She's got one of those spiked collars.
Yeah.
And why then, does she... Oh, go ahead.
I'll say, why does she have a spiked collar? Because she's such a little lady.
Well, it's funny because, you know, when people first meet Luna, they say, oh, he's so cute. Mm-hmm. I say, that's Luna. That's a girl dog. And they say, well, why does she have such a big spiked collar? And I say, well, you should have seen my boy dog. Because Spike, the original Spike, I don't know, for all of you who've lived in Sitka, probably met him. He was about, I think, 16 when he died. And mm-hmm. he died like 3 days before I got Luna. But he had a huge collar. It was, you know, one of those classic bulldog collars with the rows of five mm-hmm. spikes and the studs. And I remember I got Spike for my 7th birthday, and so we went to the pet store, and Dad said, you can pick out any collar you want for your dog. And I remember standing there looking at this huge rack. I was like, I want that one. It was the biggest, spikiest, leathery thing, you know.
And what kind of dog was
Same. A Spike. Little rat. He was like a fox collie mix, actually. Box terrier. He was much more of a mutt. Similar, though, little white dog, you know.
So I love that he had, you have this little tiny dog with a big collar. And I remember Spike, actually.
I remember when I first got home with the collar, we put it on him, and we'd been playing with him for days, and we were covered in scratches because his spikes were so sharp. And so my dad got his little filer and just filed down all the spikes so that we weren't bloody anymore, which
Good
was
idea.
Great. Yeah,
it's nice. Good idea.
But yeah, so I tell people, this is the feminine collar, whether you believe it or not. This is feminine Luna.
Well, you talked about the injuries from playing with Spike and his brand new spiked collar. You've recently taken EMT training.
Yes.
What made you want to do that? It seems, well, speaking from my shoes, I'm very intimidated by that, and I think many people are. And thank goodness, and thank you too, those of you, including you, Susan, that step forward and say, if something goes wrong, I'm going to help. I'm going to get trained, and I'm going to step forward, and I'm going to take care of people that need taken care of when mm-hmm. they can't. And so, thank you. What made you do that?
You know, I have been trying to think about this as, you know, my journey through the course went, and as I began on my runs, I'm a rookie MT still, until you do about 100 runs, you're a rookie. And, you know, I think a big part of it is that the older I get, the more instilled I feel with civic duty and just, you know, giving back to the community. I feel like it's really important. And that was always led by example through my family. And so I think, you know, I've seen it happen in my life, and I feel like it's just something that should happen. Mm-hmm. I also feel like it's something completely out of my comfort zone as far as what I know to be safe and secure and easy. And I feel like I am always looking for something to push the envelope a little, make myself go a little bit further than I like. And this definitely, in a lot of areas, it does that for me. I also have a lot of medical training, some Western, but mostly Eastern. And so it's really interesting for my brain to look at things from that strictly Western emergency perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fascinating how emergency medicine works. I think it's phenomenal that we have those resources and that we can bring people back from the brink of death and, you know, all of these things. I don't really, it fills me with awe, wonder, curiosity, and motivation, I guess, you know. Other than that, I don't really know why I'm doing it.
Well, let's contrast that with your experience and your interest in Eastern medicine.
Uh-huh.
And what drew you to that first off?
Geez, Ken, you're opening a lot of cans of worms here. I think, you know, if I had to boil it all down, I have always been interested in how things work and why. And I think growing up here is a really good way to tap into the laws of nature, because mm-hmm. you can see the life cycles of things all around you, and you're really thrown into the midst of things, whether you like it or not.
The fish coming up the river, mm-hmm. as we're experiencing mm-hmm. now, and that whole cycle ending that you see and smell. I mean, that you're right. We're literally immersed in all these cycles. That's a good point.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's, traditional Chinese medicine is based mostly on the Taoist belief that everything's connected. And I think that I really felt that, or I do feel it here, more so in other parts of the world that I've lived. But I think, you know, that sort of underlying connection that I felt as a kid and exploring things and creating my associations with things really was powerful. And it made a lot of sense when you apply it to the body and you find the same patterns going on outside as within. And so it was just really exciting for me because it made sense and it's so powerful, and it resonates with so many people because whether they realize it or not, they're operating on the same systems and mm-hmm. going through the same patterns. And so I think that's what, you know, other than just really wanting to make a difference in the world and all of that idealistic stuff, this was a good avenue for that because it really made sense for me and it seemed like you got a lot out of a little bit, you know.
So when I can feel it in my bones, I really can, mm-hmm. the weather coming on. Mm-hmm. See, we can use me as a weather vane.
Well, and that being said, there is another angle of looking at one of the things that you do, which is acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
And that level is, you know, the needles going in. And so there's that very natural and organic finding of energy and using energy and such, but there is that fear of some things, spiders and snakes and needles is, you know, one of those top ones. What are your thoughts about needles, and what are your experiences with people with needles?
Well, I wish that we could have younger people experience needles in a more friendly fashion. I feel like our first experience with needles is adults holding you down and shoving them into your arms or legs or whatever, and it's just not pleasant. Also, those needles are incredibly large, 20 gauge, 22 gauge, sort of in that area. Typically, I like to use a 42 gauge needle, which is, you know, less than half of that. And typically about the size of two strands of hair is what they equivalent it to. So it's very, very fine. And they don't really feel a lot of it, the actual insertion of the needles. What you feel is what we call da qi, which is big qi. And it can be sort of a dull, achy feeling, or it can be a referred sensation somewhere else in the body, you know, like a corresponding channel or something. It can be a sensation of warmth or a lightness of being, if you will. And so I don't find very often that people report them as being painful, you know, like, and if it is, it's typically a very brief sort of thing where you're going through the dermal layer and then it's over, and you know, before people can tell me it's uncomfortable, it's already passed. And so I don't, you know, I wish we had a better sort of understanding about what needles can do for us, because it's a very I think it comes on really strong really early, and it's hard. It's one of my biggest challenges mm-hmm. as an acupuncturist is to talk to people about it. And you know, I like to breathe with them and through them and have it be a comfortable thing. It's not it's not my goal in life to torture people. You know, it's like, I want you to feel better.
And what is the presence of the material there? Is it to push on a nerve, or what's the purpose? What's happening at the mic, at the tip, at the level of why you're doing that?
Well, if I could answer that in the next 10 minutes, I would be a gazillionaire. I could talk to you a little bit about theories, and that's about where it ends. There's one of my favorite is the connective tissue theory. So like underneath the skin, there's connective tissue layers that go all the way around the viscera of your organs and sort of connects literally from the outside in. You can kind of make this connection. And so the theory is that when you manipulate that connective tissue layer, you're actually trickling down to those, literally, the affected areas. Mm-hmm. There's other studies out there that talk about like the placebo effect, where people just think that it's going to work, so it works, or it doesn't, so it doesn't. And I think there's a lot of merit to that as far as the power of belief and intention goes, but that's a whole other topic. There's also a lot of neuroscience involved in it now, because they're able to measure things individually, like hormone levels and things like that. So a lot of neurotransmitters, adenosine, the oxytocin levels, all of those things change when you get acupuncture. It affects the amygdala of the brain, which is your emotional response to things. And so there's a theory that it doesn't necessarily change your experience from a certain event or a traumatic injury or anything like that, but it affects the way you emotionally respond to it.
Mm-hmm. How far back does this study go, the practice?
Oh, thousands of years. It's the oldest written medical texts are the Chinese texts that they've come up with, and basically they just look at the body and find areas of higher now I'm feeling like I'm getting quizzed on the air and my brain is going dead. increased conductivity and decreased resistance, so it's almost like an electrical property change of ions, positive, negative, all that stuff in these certain areas. So they basically mapped out the areas, and that's how they got the points and the channels and things.
Wow. Well, we'll stop quizzing you and we'll move on to your next song. So that was a great discussion. Thank you. The next song is from Chromeo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I was going through my list this morning as I was emailing Ken, and I realized there's no dance music. And if I'm on a deserted island, I'm going to be trying to dance as much as possible, right? So here we go. Here is I'm Not Contagious.
Take your body. Don't stop, baby, let the music take control.
Promeo, I'm Not Contagious. That's Susan Chartier's dance song on her island that we've deserted her on here on Earbones. So I've been chomping at the bit all night. It's time for the dessert on the deserted island. So, Susan, what is the dessert that you've brought?
Well, it's called Better Than Sex Cake.
All wow. right.
We're on a deserted island, right? So there's got to be something.
All right. I like it.
Describe this cake.
Okay. I have a confession to make. I've never actually had this cake. I don't know if I would like it. But, you know, it seemed appropriate. So... it's basically like a devil's food cake, and then you add a bunch of stuff to it, sweetened condensed milk, caramel ice cream topping, 3 1¼ bars of chocolate covered toffee.
Oh my gosh.
Chopped.
I'm making this cake.
And then
eight
8 ounces of frozen whipped topping. So you bake your cake, and then you do these slits across the top, making sure not to cut through the bottom, it says. And then in a saucepan over low heat, you combine the sweetened condensed milk, the caramel topping, and then you blend it all together and pour the warm topping over and let it smush in all the cracks and fill up.
Wow.
Juicy, caramely goodness. And then you let it cool and then get your whipped cream out and...
Yeah. And
do whatever you're gonna do.
You're gonna do what you're gonna do with your cake and your whipped cream, I guess.
Good call.
It's a good thing that you have whipped cream on your island.
I know, right? I think there's good ingredients here. I think we can make it manage. And so while we're eating it, I was thinking we could listen to my final song, which is an Otis Redding song, "I've Been Loving You Too Long."
Is there any reason that this song is on your list
other than the cake?
We'll just say it's to go with the cake. How about that?
Been loving you too long to stop now. And you want to be free. My love has grown stronger as you become a habit to me. Ooh, I'm loving you too long. I don't want to stop now. With you, my life has been so wonderful. I can't stop now. You're tired, and your love is growing. As our affair grows, I've been loving you, oh, too long, to stop now. Oh, 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 I've been loving you. I don't want to stop now. Oh, oh, don't make me stop now. Oh, hey, I don't need, please don't make me stop now.
Otis Redding, I've Been Loving You, to go with your Better Than Sex cake on your deserted island.
And that wraps up the 10 songs that Susan Chartier would choose to have with her on an island if stranded, perhaps forever. Thank you so much for putting that list together and sharing some of your stories and your life with us tonight.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I felt like we all learned so much about me.
Yes, we did. And we'll just finish out the hour. Rachel's picked some tunes, and
we have to rescue Susan, though.
Oh, we do have to rescue.
I do Susan. Get rescued.
You do. Yes. There's a ship on the horizon, and it's going to come and put a little dinghy down in the water, and it's going to come and pick you up and sweep you away back into civilization, where you can share your knowledge and your music and your fiddle and your life with all of us.
That's good, because I was running out of cake.
Well, thanks again for coming in. We'll post this show and your song selections at kcaw.org. And at the top of the page, it is under the station highlights. And then you go to the Deserted Island Archive section. And that's where you'll be able to find this show. Although we'll have it up on the homepage for the next few days, so you'll be able to find that. And we'll post it at some point this weekend. So, Susan, bid you adieu.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.